are up to Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Perek Tes Vav, new Perek today. Okay, I think the pace, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit. Now that we've gone through all of the Yichus names, we have a lot of names today as well, but let's see what we can do. Perek again, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Vayasla, Botim, Be'ir David. David now is beginning to establish his Malchus. David made for himself Botim. Okay,
he knew how to live well.
We learned yesterday about the palace, Churam. We know as Churam. Here it's Churam. Melech Tzar sent him supplies, sent him craftsmen. Here we find him. David is taking advantage of the supplies and of the craftsmen to actually construct. Vayaslei Botim Beir David. Vayochen Mokoyim La Aroin Hu Elokim. Vayet Lo Ohel. Now after he made for himself batim, he prepared a special makom for the Aroin Huelokim, and he pitched a tent in Ohel. So here we have this. Really, you know, this is the setting the stage for David HaMelech saying to himself, "How could it be that I have made for myself a beautiful palace, and the Aron is only resting in a tent?" David had obviously a palace of stone, wood, marble, and the Aron is just resting in a simple tent made from cloth. This was the famous statement David made when he went to Nasan Hanavi and he told him his plan that he wants to build a Beis Hamigdash. So this is the introduction. This is a very interesting pasuk where here is where it's happening. He's building for himself the batim, but the ohel is only going to pitch a tent. Here the Mishkan is called an Ohel, a famous Kinan Tisha B'Av, where we mention throughout Tanakh all the various places where the Mishkan is called an Ohel. Okay, let's see, Pasuk Beis, Oz Amar David. David then said, Lo La Seis, now David wants to transport the Aroin from Oved Edom. Right, that we learned two Prokim ago, that the Aron is now being stored in Beis Oved Edom after he attempted to transport the Aron from Kiryas Yoram, otherwise known as Baalasa, another name for the city Baalasa, to Kiryas Yoram. A terrible tragedy happened where Uzzah was killed. Uzzah, the wagon, was put on wagons. This was a terrible mistake. It should have been carried by the Levian. It was transported on wagons. The same way the Plishtim sent the Aron back to David, he put it on a wagon, and the wagon, the Shamtu HaBokar, the Bokar were dislodged, or the limbs of the Bokar actually came to pieces, as we learned before, and Uzzah stretched out his hand to touch the Aron, and he died. David was frightened, and he diverted the transport to the local city of Oved Edom, where it stayed for 3 months, and he was blessed with having many children. Now David, after his throne, after his palace has been built, he pitched a tent. He now wants to bring the Aron from the home of Oved Edom to Ir David, which is Yerushalayim, obviously not into the Beis HaMikdash, because there was no Beis HaMikdash yet, but at least into a temporary location where this all was. So Oz Omar David, Lo Lo Seis Es Aron Hu Elokim. David learned from his mistake, he's not going to carry the Aron on wagons. Who's going to carry it? Ki Im HaLevim, only the Levim will carry it on their shoulders. Kivam, because it is them, Bochar Hashem chose Lo Seis Es Aron Hu Elokim Ulishar So to minister Ad Olam for forever. There is no exception. This was the mistake of David. David thought that their role of carrying the Aron was not Ad Olam. It was only in the 40 years of the Midbar. Now the 40 years of the Midbar come to an end. It can be carried, transported by wagons, as we discussed in great detail, the Rashi, the three different reasons. Now David learned that that was a mistake. The Levim have the right and have the duty to carry the Aron whenever it needs to be carried at Olam. So what David do? Pasuk Gimel, by Yakel David has called Yisrael El Yerushalayim. He gathered the entire Klal Yisrael El Yerushalayim Leha'alois Es Aron Hashem El Mekoyim Asher Heichin Lo, to transport it from the home of Oved Edom to the place where he had prepared for it in Ir David. Vayesof David Es Bnei Aron V'es Alvim. And now he's going to gather specifically the Bnei Aron and Alvim. Now notice over here we don't have this whole long elaboration like we had in the previous two Prokhim ago, when he transported from Kiryas Yearim to Ir David, where we break up Klal Yisrael into the various Shvatim, and only the leaders come, the representatives come. Oh well, that was the coronation. So that was really the coronation. But here he gathers the entire Klal Yisrael to transport it to the location. Now he gathers the Levim, David as Bnei Aaron, and the Es Halavim. Pasuk Hey, yeah.
Is Bnei Aaron the only to come?
Yes. The Bnei Aaron, the Kohanim. Oh, so yes, because that's a very big question. Because who exactly carries the Aaron? Do the Levim carry the Aaron, or do the Kohanim also carry the Aaron? So there's much discussion. There's a kina. One of the kinos on Tisha B'Av seems to indicate that the Kohanim, it says very clearly that the Kohanim carry the Aaron. We know that's not so. We know it's the Levim that carry the Aaron. So what does it mean? So it means there could be there are exceptions, that if there are not enough Levim, then there's a special halacha that Kohanim can serve as backups. I don't know the answer. I don't know all the details, but it's making a very good point that here it says that we have here the Bnei Aharon, the Eshal Levim. Seemingly, they were the supervisors. They are the ultimate authority, the Kohanim. But physically, the one that would carry the Aron, that was given over to, that was the role of the Levim. They carry the Kalim in the Mishkan and the Aron. And here we're gathering the Bnei Aaron seemingly to supervise this procedure. Let's see some of the psukim. Pasuk Lahei, Levnei Kohath. So we're now going to go through all the branches of the tribe of Levi. So we have Kohath, who is the leader, Uriel Hasor, he was the prince, the Echav, Me'av Yeshem, 120 people under him, under Uriel. Pasuk Vav, Levnei Merari, the second branch of the family of Levi, Asoya Hasor, he was the leader, the Echav, Mosaim, 210 people, Yeshem, 220 people under him. Pasuk Zayin, Levnei Gershaim, Yoyel Hasor, the Echav, Me'a Ushleshim, 130. Pasuk Ches, Levnei Elit Safon, Shemaya Hasor, the Echav, Mosaim. Pasuk Tes Levnei Chevroin, Eliel Hasav Yechav 80. Pasuk Yod Levnei Uziel Aminadav Hasav Yechav Meir Ushneimos 112. Pasuk Yidal Vayikol Davil Tzadokah Ulav Yasar HaKohanim. Now we find here Tzadok for the first time, because before in back a few program ago we mentioned Tzadok was a young man, and Tzadok was not yet the Kohen Gadol at that time, the time of David's coronation. So this was a later point in time. There was at least from the time of when David became Melech in Chevron until they actually brought there were a number of years had passed from the time that David became Melech over the entire Klal Yisrael until David finished all of the Gzuntad, all of these battles that we mentioned in the previous parak, and David built his palaces, and they made an attempt to transport the Aron from Kiryas Arim to Ir David, and the terrible tragedy of Uziah, and now David's now going to bring it to Yerushalayim. So in the interim, between David becoming Melech over the entire Klal Yisrael, 7 years after he was Melech in Hebron, and the time they're going to bring the Aron to Ir David, Tzadok stepped up, the previous Kohen Gadol retired, and now Tzadok has now become the Kohen Gadol. Yes. No, not thrown out. There was no one was thrown out.
That was later.
Right now, Tzadok here, we find him for the first time in David's lifetime is serving as Kohen Gadol and Tzadok. So Levi Yasar seemingly was the Skan, Levim, and to the Levim, Uriel. So here we have all the names that we mentioned above. He's now bringing together all of the leaders. We have Uriel was the leader of Kohath, Asiya was the leader of Merari, the Yoel is the leader of Gershaim, Shemaya was the leader of Elitzaphon, and the Eliel was leader of Chevron, and Aminadav was Uziel. So the five different leaders with all of the people that they represented now have come forward. Vayemulchem, he said to them, Atem Rashei Havos, Lalavim, you are the leaders of the five different branches of the family. Hiskadishu, sanctify yourself, Atem, you va'achechem and your brethren, ve'ha'alisem, and I give you the charge to bring up Eis Aron Hashem Elokei Yisrael El to the location, Hachino Sila, which I have prepared for it. Ki, why am I giving you the charge, you, the Levim, you, the five leaders of the Levim, and also Tzadok, and Eviasar, the Kohanim, why am I telling you to be in charge of transporting the Aron? Why don't we take the wagons again, and put the Aron in the wagons and have them move? Ki, li, ma, bo, ri, shayna. This is a very unusual word, because originally, li, ma, bo, ri, shayna, came from the word, ri, shayna, in the beginning, Bereshis, because Lo Atem. The last time we tried, we made an attempt to transport the Aron from Kiryas Yearim to Ir David, it was unsuccessful because Lo Atem, you were not involved. The Aron was put on a wagon, and the wagon was surrounded by Yisraelim, specifically Uziah on one side. Uziah is a Yisrael. It was Lo Atem, comma. It was not you who transported, and therefore, you have to add some words into the pasuk. Paratz Hashem Elohim Ibanu. Hashem broke forth against us. He punished us. He stretched out his hand, Hashem, to bring harm upon us. Uziah died. Kilo dirashnuhu kamishpat. We did not seek the good and welfare of the Shekhinah as is required. I made a mistake. David acknowledged he made a mistake, says in the pasuk, because the Torah says that it's the charge of the Levim to carry the Aron, I guess supervised by the Kohanim. Pasuk Yudal, they listened to David, they sanctified themselves. This is not just a small matter. To transport the Aron, it says Vayiskadesh, we can imagine what they did. They probably had a fast a couple of days. They probably had to go to Mikvah, and they had to go to Tshuva. It's a lot of things you had to do in order to sanctify yourself before you do this role of taking the Aron to the Ir David. You know, there's such a thing if a person is called to be a witness by a wedding. To be a witness by a wedding, a chasna, that is really the most choshev kibbut. To read the ksuba, anyone can read the ksuba. If you have to know how to read the ksuba, you have to practice, know the nikudas, how to read the ksuba. But to be the mesader kedusha, what are you really doing? You're getting two brachas. Okay, you make the brachas, but you're not the one who creates a chalois kedushin. You're just a supervisor. Okay, the mechabed, you make two brachas, asher kedushon v'mitzvos v'mitzvon al harayos yaslan asarus, the whole bracha. Okay, boy priagofen, very nice. But the witnesses, they are the ones who create the chalois kiddush. No, lahavdil elef alfei avdolos by the goyim, by the priest. They say, in the power vested in me, I pronounce you husband and wife. My father once came back from a wedding. My father was on the block of a wedding. He was horrified. And it was a young rabbi who, you know, was a very fine fellow. And it was a very, very modern, barely orthodox wedding. And basically, they were copying the goyim, and this is an orthodox, a musmach. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he said to the people, by the power he's putting on a show, vested in me as a rabbi, I'm now pronouncing you husband and wife. I'm giving you. It's mamish. My father came back and he said to me, the way the nusach he said and the way he did, he's choisha that it's not a kosher kedusha. It's not a kedusha because it's a toss. The chos and kal, they think that it's the koyach of the rabbi that's the chalois kedusha. There's no such thing in halacha. The man gives the tabas kedusha, the kesef kedusha to the isha, and he says hare at. That's what creates the chalois kedusha. But you also need there to be aidin. Okay, there's a lot of lumdis. To what degree are the Edim, are the Edim Ra'oya, Edim Kiyum, but the Edim have Epis, the Mekayim. So there's such a concept that you have to be a kosher aid. If Rahman would slaughter a person as a Ganef, right? He has money that's not 100%, he can't be an aid. I once heard from a Rosh Kollel, they were Machabed Rosh Kollel to be an aid Kedushin, a very Chosher, or head of the Kollel, very big Kollel. So he didn't want to accept. He said, I deal with Jungleite, and I do fundraising for the Kollel, and I'm not 100% certain in his humility that I deal with mammonis. I deal with a lot of money, with all the people, and who knows, I may be nechshol in taking money from people or giving money to people who don't deserve. People give money on the assumption that the money is going to go to Bnei Torah who are really sitting and learning. I sometimes give away money to people that are not 100%. They come late, they leave early, and maybe this was not the intent of the donors, to the sponsors of the kollel. So I don't really feel comfortable being an aid by a wedding. Give it rather to someone that's not involved in dinei mamonis. There are a lot of stories like this. But the point is, forget about the mamonis. Before you become a witness, a person is such a halacha, you have to be maharher in tshuva. Even if it's not a shadow of mamonis, it's a very serious thing. It's much more serious than the Masada Kedushin. You have to think to do tshuva at the moment before you participate in such an al achas kam v'kama, when you are now given the role to transport the Aron to its final resting place. Can you imagine what this is? Ki lo yibosem ad ota el hamenucha v'el hanachala. Here you are going to participate in this incredible one-time fulfillment in the history of Klal Yisrael, El Hanachala. Like we discussed last week, there are two parts to the Mishkan. There are the Kelim of the Mishkan, and there is the Aron. And after the Churban of Shiloh, the Aron was not reunited with the Kelim because that was not important. Ki lo yibos manata El HaMenucha. Menucha is Shiloh, and the next step is Nachla. So there's no point in bringing the Aron to Nov and Gidon. We can leave the Aron wherever it is until we finally come to the Nachla. And here you're a Levi, and you're getting the Kavod to be Mekayim El Hanachla, Mekayim this prophecy, this pasuk in the Torah once, and this is serious business. Vayiskadeshu, you have to raise yourself to a spiritual level to be deserving of this incredible kavod.
Vayis avoided a few weddings based on agunis because they had conservative or rabbis, whatever it is.
They were saying the chos
by the power vested in me, and with, based on that, the chos also the rabbi married them,
right.
And he said the woman was never married in the first place.
And so he's not an aguna, not unbelievable.
Yeah.
A lot of times they say by the power vested in me by the state of New York. In other words, I have authority given to me by the state.
That's a secular statement.
It's a secular statement.
Right. Okay.
It's not a religious statement.
From my television days, it's not how I remember it. I remember the priest, you know, really making a powerful statement. Okay, so I don't know. Yes, we had television, okay? I'm sorry to tell you. We had television, sorry. Low side. Yeah.
Is that kind of a message?
What?
The marriage you mentioned, the one that your father went to, did that have a halacha status of marriage?
That's exactly what we said from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe felt there was no kiddushin.
It's
a shiloh.
On the rabbi saying by the power vested in me, and it's the chos.
It's kiddush etos.
Yeah, but he's doing it. And it's his doing it. It has nothing to do with having kiddushin.
Okay, let's go further. Let's want to try to do the whole parak here. Let's see. So they sang the pasuk tezva vayisu pasuk yudal vayiskachu hakohanim halavim laloleh halois es aron hashem lokei yisrael b'yuda vayisu v'nei halavim es aron lokeim kasher tziva Moshe as Moshe commanded kedvar Hashem. So here David is doing tshuva. He recognized he made a mistake that the levim have a requirement ad oilam as Moshe commanded kedvar Hashem bich seifam. On their shoulders, bimotos, with poles, alehem, upon them. That is how the Aron, alehem, upon them, the poles, the badim, the bade, Aron, will rest upon the shoulders of the Levim when the Aron is to be carried. Obviously, there's obviously a lot of great significance in the shoulder. What is the shoulder? What is the pole? I don't know, but obviously the very deep things in why the Torah requires that the Aron be carried in such a way with a pole, and the pole goes on the shoulder.
You can't touch the Aron. It's the motos.
Well, why did Hashem want it to be like that? Why did Hashem want that you not touch it? I guess because of the sanctity, the Kedusha. So why a pole? Why didn't Hashem perhaps make it with a
copper tumor?
Why not? It's a kli, shute kliates, but it's covered with metal. Metal is makabal tumah. I don't know. Okay, here I know. Okay, let's see. Okay, now let's see.
Metal. They were.
You told us yesterday that when they carried the Aron in the desert, the nest was done for them. The Aron was very, very heavy.
Correct. It was.
And the Aron carried.
Right. We're gonna have the actual makar for that later. Yeah. What?
Did the same thing happen here?
Absolutely. 100%. It was physically impossible for four levim to carry the weight of the Aron, the Luchos, and the Kruvim. 100%. Impossible.
It was a nace.
Of course it was a nace. And actually, the main source that it was a nace, that the Aron was no say, it's no sub, is this Perek. We're going to get to a pasuk later on, at the end of the Perek, where that's the source for this. Because if you read the Torah, it doesn't say anywhere.
Right.
We just make a calculation. Let's calculate the modern not in the scientific methods, how much the aron weighed. We know approximately it was 1.5 by 2.5. That's amos. Okay, we can approximate how long an am is, and we can figure out basically how much metal, the kikar, how much metal. It's impossible. And tablets, even if you take stone today, average to how much it weighs, it would not be possible for people to carry this in Muslims. But here we have Magnum Shapasik, which indicates that it was a miracle. Okay, let's see some of the Rashis before we go further. Rashi Pasik base. Kiyam Halavim ki bom bochar. Kiloimar. Belevim bochar. Veloi boagola. Here, David is coming to acknowledge he made a mistake. Well, we learned that already last week, last parak, that the Levim Hashem chose veloi boagola. Shalafi shehir kavnuhu boagola. Because David made a mistake and he told them to transport it with a wagon. Nenash Uza. Uza was punished. Vizel sh'amar lamata. Ki live limibi rishayna loyatem. That the first attempt we made to transport the Aron was not through you, the Levim. Therefore, paratz Hashem elokeinu banu. Hashem broke forth against us. He punished us. Ki lo dirashnuhu kamishpat shehir kavnuhu boagola. What was the mistake we made? We carried it with a wagon. Tezva. Okay, next kedvar Hashem. Next Rashi kedvar Hashem because threw down their shoulders. Bich seifam. Bimotos, they shall alehem. Rashi, losays also not to carry. V'loy mamish big seifam. Kiim bimotos alehem. Okay, let's see the mitzudos. We don't have to really do it because the mitzudos are pretty straightforward. Okay, let's just go further because the mitzudos are very very straightforward. So let's just look at pasuk yugimel. We'll just do a little bit. Pasuk yugimel. Ki le. Ma barishayna behaalo harishayna mikiryas yorin. Our first attempt, lo atem, did not involve you, the Levim. Lo hiisim atem hamalim ulzeh. You were not the ones who transported the aron, and therefore niskalgil hadavar. What happened? Niskalgil hadavar sheparitz Hashem beuzah kiloy dirashnu kamishpat hatorah shamar shebnei Levi yisu esarim ravurzeh bo hatakala. Next words, bich seifam loy bagol ani abakor ki bich seifam behabegodim asher samu aleihem. But here he says the word the begodim, the garments. I'm not sure why he's saying that. When they carried the aron, they also covered it. We know that they covered it with two different garments. They covered it with tcheles and argamon. And in fact, the way the order, the outer covering was different than all of the other kelim. All the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash you put two different covers. One is purple and one is tcheles. The aron, which one was the outside? The aron was, I think, the outside was tcheles. Above. And underneath was our gaman. But all of the other kelim was the opposite. It was tcheles milamata and our gaman milamala. The outer covering was blue, and the inner covering was the outer covering was purple, and the inner covering was tcheles. The aron was the opposite, and that way, I guess, when you would watch them in the midbar travel, you knew which one was the aron on a very similar level. Which one we call the color of the aron? So let's go further.
Makes it more than saying that's the job you need a kohanim
to make sure, make sure the covering, okay.
The rest, the carrying was only by the
very good, excellent.
Excellent,
beautiful. The starting of the transport was done by the Kohanim because they are the ones who covered
the cover.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. They're part of that process. Excellent. So here, it's good we learned this mitzudos. He does make mention that it was done by the habagodim asher samu aleihem. Indeed, they were garments. Okay, let's go to pasuk. Let's go for the pasuk. Tes zayin vayoymer David l'sori halavim lehamid es acheihem. Now David is commanding all of the Levim to sing Shira and to offer korbanos as they transport. And this could be another reason why in this particular instance we need Kohanim. Similarly, the Kohanim are the ones that are going to bring the korbanos. Now, it's not so clear you need Kohanim to bring the Korbanos, because since now they don't have an official Mikdash, it's B'shtarim, it's now B'shas Heter Bamos, and when there's a Bama, anyone can offer a carbon on a Bama. You do not need specifically a Kohen to do the Haktara, the Zrika. So here we're going to see now they're going to offer an enormous number of Korbanos as they march, as they take a step. Each step that they take, they can offer a carbon. We're going to see 6, 36, over and over again. Now, if you bring a carbon as you're marching, obviously you are erecting a mizbeach. Now, the mizbeach doesn't have to be 32 amas by 32 amas. A mizbeach can be 1 amma by 1 amma, b'shas heter b'amas. It just must be perfectly square. So, seemingly, they erected mizbeachos, b'amos, all along the route, traveling from the home of Obed Edom until the place of Yerushalayim. There were many. Who was the one that was given the charge of actually doing the Shechita, the Kabbalah, and the Zrika, the Halach and the Zrika? So I imagine it was the Kohanim. Because since over here this is even though technically speaking it can be done by anyone, it's B'shas Heter Bamos, but since this is a community, this is for Klal Yisrael, it would be a code for Klal Yisrael that the Kohanim should lead the way. So perhaps that's another reason why David is commanding that the Kohanim here should participate, because we're going to offer Kabbonis as we go through this procession. So here he's giving the Kabbonis to the prince of the Levim. Now in addition to the Kabbonis, which we're going to get to in a few moments, they would sing. There was an elaborate orchestra, musical instruments and singers that accompanied the transport of the Aron. L'soy halavim l'hamid es achayhem, to position es achayhem ha-mishayrim, the singers, b'chlei shir, with all of the various musical instruments, which includes the nevalim are the wind instruments, uvichi noirois, the harp, the string instruments, tziltayim, percussion, the cymbals, mashmiim, to bring forth sound, leharim bekol, to raise up sound, koil, lesimcha, to produce for the purpose of joy. Pasik yud zayin, vadei listen to the vayamidu alevim eis. So who did they appoint? Who did they position in strategic locations along the procession route? Vayamidu halavim eis Haman ben Yoel. So this is the famous name Haman from the Levim. This is not only the Snamish, the Haman, the famous Haman. It could be it is. I'm not exactly sure the whole Yichus, but the name was obviously recycled certainly throughout the Yichus of the Levim. Haman was one of the original Levim that wasn't. I think this could be the Haman. This was the one that David appointed. David appointed Haman to be the leader of the song Haman ben Yoel umin echav. So Yoel. So we know which family he's from, because Yoel, if you go up a couple of psukim, Yoel was, he was the third family. The third family was Gershon. Right? The second family. The third family. There's Kohas, there is Merari, and there is Gershon. Gershon, the leader, was Yoel. Yoel had a son. I'm assuming that Haman is that son Yoel. Could be there's a different Yoel. So nothing is a guarantee. I don't remember all the details. We learned a lot of this in the beginning of Divrei Hayam, all the charts, all the names. But let's assume it's Haman ben Yoel, Umin Echav, also from his brethren. Yeah?
The Malvin says Haman came from Tahash.
Oh, so it must be a different one. Okay, there must then be a different one, a different Yoel. It's not the son of that Yoel. Okay, good. Yoel, a lot of the names are repeated. People have many same names over and over. You're right. So different. Haman ben Yoel, Umin Echov, Asaf ben Berechiyahu, Umin b'nei Merari Achayhem, Esan ben Kushayahu. So these were the three people who were seemingly in charge of singing and playing the musical instruments throughout this procession. The secondaries, second in command. Who are they? Zichariyahu Bain. That was his name. His name is not Bain. That was a very unusual name. V'ya'aziel. Number two. Number three, Ushemi Ramos. Number four, Vichiel. Number five, Viuni. Number six, Veeliov. Uvinoyahu. Umaaseyahu. Umatisyahu. Veeliflehu. Umikneyahu. The Oved Edom. Now, this Oved Edom is not, seemingly, is not the same person. I don't know why the Matuda says he's not the same person. Okay, it's not the same Oved Edom as the where the Aron was stored. I don't know why he said it. If you look in the Oved Edom, the book in the Rashi, the Mitzudas, just to jump down for one moment, the Oved Edom, this Pasik is Pasik Yud Ches. Pasik Yud Ches, no, maybe it was in Rashi. Pasik Yud Ches. Okay, I don't know where I saw that. I saw that somewhere. It's not necessarily the same Oved Edom. I'm not sure where I saw that. I saw that somewhere. Okay, the Oved Edom, V'el Hasha'arim. Now, these people, it seems to list, the Mishnim were the Sho'arim. Now, this they were gatekeepers. Now, this is the very, Rashi brings out this point. We'll see in a few moments, Rashi inside, that there's no need for a gatekeeper when you transport the Aron. When the Aron is in a building, then you have honor guards. Shoyarim. But when the Aron is not in a building, you don't need an honor guard because it's in transport. So you will answer, so you do need guards. You know, not necessarily so. You do need honor guards to stand along the side as the procession moves. True, you do need, but you don't need as many. So there was an excess of Levim that were not needed during this procession. So what did they do? They had many talents. Some of the Shayarim also knew how to sing and knew how to play musical instruments. So even though when the Mishkan, the Aron was settled in the Mishkan, in the location, that was not their primary role. Their primary role was to be a gatekeeper. And in fact, when we learned a couple of prakim ago in the beginning of the Sefer, we learned there was a Hakpada. That if you're assigned to be a gatekeeper, you're not a singer. If you're a singer, you're not a gatekeeper. Everyone has their thing, and you don't mix and match. You don't have a midlife crisis and change careers. All of a sudden, I'm now going to become... What?
No multitasking.
You'd say, the only thing that multitasking was the gatekeepers, because the gatekeepers had a lot of time on their hands. So they were given administrative positions. Mm-hmm. They were in charge of the lishkais. But the people... The singers, we learned in the beginning of Sefer Divrei Hayamim, had to practice every single day. There was a lot of practice that had to be done in preparation to sing, and they had no time to serve any other role other than sing. But the gatekeepers did have other functions. Specifically, they served as administrators of various lishkas. Now, this is something that is very unique. When the Aron is traveling in throughout this procession, we're going to take the shoyarim, the gatekeepers, and they are being assigned a new role to sing. It's a chiddush. That's something which is very interesting, an exception to the rule. That was. Yeah?
Said,
we're going to see Rashi in a moment. I want to go through Pesukim first. Right? So one name, that's what we said. It's an interesting trap. They all have a Pazer.
Another one, so you're
right, it's a good point.
I don't know why this.
Did you ever see a pasuk like this where there's so many, a pazer, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Ksuvim. Not necessarily. Only
to have those pazerim.
It means to show they're godless.
Yeah. I don't know, but it's very interesting. Here you have a... Eight times a pazer. Right. Pazer.
Another one. It should be the same.
I
one.
Think part of it is what Ross says previously. He says, how could that be such a mistake?
Yeah.
That he should
be. Zemiros.
It says, right. So even the pasuk.
Yeah.
Why did he put it on a wagon? Was he thought only the Dora Midbar is key holloway dog love the dog shit? But the role
was not Roy Lakach.
Roy Lakach, right. So he thought that Gola is the best way to
right, right. That's what we learned. We spoke
right.
about that, right?
So maybe, so that's okay. To do with the Trump over here. He's showing that these people have a certain Kedusha.
Can you imagine if you.
You don't lay.
Eight times. Could you imagine if you went to shul, you had to lay this? Over eight times? Tircha de tzibura. They would give the Balkari a very hard time. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Yutes. V'hamashayrim, who are the singers? Heyman, these are the secondary. These are the second in command. V'hamashayrim, Heyman, Asaf, Eisan. I'm sorry. Take a step back. V'hamashayrim, the singers. Heyman, Asaf, Eisan. Bim, Tziltayim, L'choyshes, L'ashmiya. They were using the copper cymbals, L'ashmiya, to bring forth sound. Pasuk Chav, U'zechariyahu, V'aziel, U'shemi, Ramos, V'chiel, V'uni, V'eliyah. These are the statements from above. U'ma'ase Yahu, U'vino Yahu, Bin Volim Al Alamos. They were playing with flutes. Al Alamos means the al, it's another instrument. Okay, it's also a name of an instrument. Look right away in the Mitzvah's Pasuk Chaf. The Al means also. The al and with alamos, the gamhu shem kli zemer, the nisgar b'tehillim, it's mentioned in Tehillim. So they played, they were using two different types of, we're breaking up the actual singers, the main singers that we mentioned in Pasuk Yud Zayin. We're taking these people and we are telling which instruments they played. Pasuk Chaf Aleph umatisyo. Okay, let's go. Pasuk. No. It could be Bino. He was a Kohen. Yeah, Bino Yo. No, but here we're dealing with Levim. Which Bino Yo? I'm not sure where you're from.
Let's. Pasuk Chaf.
Uvino Yo. Seemingly not, because Bino Yo ben Yehoyada was a Kohen, and here we're discussing a Levi. So it's a different person. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Umatis Yohu ve'elif lehu. Umik Neyahu, the Ovid Adam, the El, the Azaz Yahu, the Chinoros, they were playing with harps, Al Hashminis. Now, Al Hashminis means a different instrument, a musical instrument which has eight strings. Now, this is an instrument that is used, right, which is meant Al Amitzech, Al Hashminis. It's Mizmar Vav. That's the Mizmar we say for Tachnon. Tachnon comes from Mizmar Al Hashminis. We mentioned before that Tachnon, that Mizmar is what you say by a bris mila. Choneni Hashem ki umlal oni, refaeni ki nifhalu atzamoy. Umlal literally means I'm feeble, I'm a very weak person. But Chazal Darsh and umlal, lashon of mila, have compassion upon me because I am now going through the process of bris mila. So this is Mizmar Vav. And how does Mizmar Vav, like you said, Lamatzech al Hashminis, on the musical instrument which has eight strings, and that's why it's very appropriate for Bris Mila, which is all about the number eight. All about, now that number is a number that's an instrument that's a reference to Yimos HaMashiach, because we live now in Olam HaTeva. The Olam HaTeva has only seven instruments. L'Asalavo, there's going to be a whole new Seder to music which will have a string of eight strings. Let me tell you, there's a very beautiful word from Rabbi Wolfson. Now, I don't know anything about music, so you'll help me here. I'm sure there are many people who know everything about music. Piano, how many notes are there on the piano?
88 keys.
No, not the whole piano. Just one.
An octave. Is
octave.
An
octave is eight,
Do,
obviously.
Do, is it eight?
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, fi, do.
Eight.
Well, octave.
You said not the do. Don't do the do. Do re mi fa sol la ti. That's seven. Seven. That's a. You going? Where do you get eight? That's, it's only seven. No. There are seven notes on the piano. Right. The sound of music. Do re mi fa sol la ti. Seven. Okay. Now in the seven, those are the white keys. Okay, on the piano. Then there are half notes,
right,
and those are the black keys.
Flats, okay.
So how many black keys are there? There are five, right? There are five. So right, I'm quoting you from Rabbi Wolfson. I don't know anything about music. Rabbi Wolfson says that if you were to play a song and only use the dark, the flat keys, the what we call on the piano for an ignoramus like me, the black keys, it's a sad form of music. This, he says, is a mitzias. The white keys have a sound of happiness. They're strong. They produce sounds that evoke simcha. The black keys produce a sound that evokes a feeling of, about to say, it somehow, it brings out sadness. In this world, the world that we live in today, first of all, there are only seven notes. Because we live in a world of Teva. There are 7 days of the week. The world is a world of Teva. Teva is the number seven. There is no such thing as pure simcha in the world that we know. All of our simcha is mixed with sadness. And therefore, this has been expressed to some degree, Hashkocha Pratis, yeah, whatever this means, how, what is the significance of the piano, I don't know how far I go back or goes in the significance, but nothing is a coincidence in this world. The fact that there are seven white keys and there are five flat keys, seven is Ilam HaTeva, and the half notes are black, there's no such thing as pure simcha in this world. Le'osid lovo, there's going to be a whole new form of music. And that form of music is going to be a piano, so to speak. I don't know, whatever this is. And a whole new octave, where there will only be eight keys, and it will no longer be any of the flat keys, the half note keys. And he brings a pasuk. The pasuk says, Bechi Sharos. There's a pasuk. I forgot the whole pasuk. I don't know the pasuk. Bechi Sharos. It's a means music. But Bechi Sharos is a contraction of two words, Bechi, crying, and Sharos, Slosh and Shira. So this term, Bechi Sharos, which is an expression of song in this world, is really a composite of sadness and simcha, which we can relate to in our day and age by looking at a piano which has seven notes, which some of them, the half notes, have a sound of sadness. But also love of is going to be the shminis, la matzecha la shminis, is a totally new form of music of eight notes, of only notes of simcha. So here we have them singing, and then we have to remember that David HaMelech, we go through this every single day, we say the same thing, that the purpose of Divrei Hayamim is in order to, it's a motivational sefer. It's a sefer that's being written for the people living at the time. Unlike the Sifrei Nevi'im that are written for posterity, the Ksuvim is also for posterity. But Sifrei Nevi'im was written as a sefer of prophecy for all time. The primary focus of Divrei Hayamim were for the people living at the time to be motivated to return to Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, to participate in the process, and to bring Mashiach. Therefore, we focus very much that David HaMelech, when he gathered the entire Klal Yisrael together for the procession to bring the Aron from the home of Obed Edom to Ir David, he's specifically using the instrument, he's making note that these group of people, Umatisyo, Ve'elif Lehu, Umik Neyohu, Yevet Edom, Yel, Ve'azazyohu, Bechinoros, and also Al Hashminis Linatseach. The last of the musical instruments that are being used by these Levim is the Shminis, the musical instrument, the music of Le'oselovo Yimos HaMashiach. Linatseach. Linatseach simply, on a very simple level, means to play, to produce music, or to compose. Means Linatseach, they were the leaders of the orchestra. The conductor. A conductor, in a modern orchestra, there's only one conductor. But it appears that there was some form of sophistication at the time of David, where there were multiple conductors. They have something like that today? You ever see that today? You have an orchestra, there's more than one conductor? Never saw it, right? No such thing. But here it says that you have a group. It says Linatseach. Linatseach is a term which is used to be the conductor. That's how it's used in Tanakh sometimes. And here we have a group, a team, who are serving together in this capacity. Let's just go a few more psukim. Lamatzech means to sing. On a very simple level, Lamatzech means for the conductor, but also means simply, on even a simple level, to produce music. Lamatzech means to sing. When you produce music, the beauty of the music is where some notes rise up above, they prevail over the other notes. The beauty of music is some notes come above. That's sound. Let's see the Mitzvah David says, Hamenagnim, the singers, Yikru Menatzchim, they're called Menatzchim. Al kidarkam linatzeach ze al ze beharamas hakol uvehachros haneima. When you sing, one there's a high part, there's a low part. In each actual stanza or lyric, one part raises up above the other, and that is the beauty of song, and that's why Lenatzechen literally means to prevail, to prevail, to rise above. Okay, no, we now have to stop here, so let's just do the Rashis and the Mitzvahs, and we'll stop here. We have to do some Rashi's Pasuk Yud Ches. So after we listed the group of the singers in Pasuk Yud Ches, we listed the people that are the secondary, the deputies. Mishne lohem lish shoyarim, to serve as shoyarim. So these people, Yud Ches, were gatekeepers. And again, there's no such thing as being a gatekeeper when you're traveling out in the open. What it means is to serve as an honor guard. Like we see today, different, you know, there's a procession. When the president comes, they're security people, but they're also people dressed in military uniform whose guns don't work. Right? You ever see all these soldiers? They walk with their weapons. They don't have any bullets. They couldn't do anything for us. They're like, you know, and even 9/11, they had the planes were not armed. You know, the jets, the fighter jets, when they scramble in emergency, they scrambled fighter jets when they heard that there are planes out of control. The fighter jets couldn't do anything. They had no missiles, because it's times of peace, and they're not armed with missiles. They were going to ask, and they were going to ask the fighter jets to the ultimate sacrifice, to actually use the jet itself as a to actually go
intercept
the plane itself to give their lives. That was the thought, but. Menatzo here, the Shayarim are just honor guards standing along the procession to stand and give kavod to the Shechina as the Aron passes. That's the next Rashi. Zichariyahu Bein, Kach Shemo, V'chol Elu. Now here we go, Rashi points out this very interesting concept. V'chol Elu, Mishayurim V'Shayarim Hayu B'Derech. All of these people were singers and gatekeepers, Hayu B'Derech, Shehivu Es Ha'Aron. V'ha Mishayurim V'ha Shayarim Shehem David Li Achar Shenasiv Aron Elo Oil Asher Nataloy David, and these were the people that will ultimately later appointed permanently to be gatekeepers and singers. Uve Mishkon Shilu Hayu Shayarim, and furthermore, in the past they served as Shayarim, but here now at this moment in time, even though it's true that in the future and in the past this group of people were gatekeepers, Uva Derech Lo Hayu Shayarim, but while they were actually walking on the road, the Levim had nothing to do. It's not a real gatekeeper. There are no gates. You're out in the open. If you Shlo Hutzruchu Kol Kach. It does not say they did not need any honor guards. They did need a few honor guards. Lefichach nasu mishayrim chutz mishnayim. They made from the mishayrim, except for two. There were two exceptions. Berechyahu v'Elkanah. They made them into singers. The gatekeepers turned into singers, with the exception of two of them, Berech Yohu and Elkanah. They were still called why does he say Chutz Mishnayim Berech Yohu v'Elkanah Umnikne Yehu v'Eveda v'Yel Hashayarim? So where does he get that from? Where does it say Dafka that he was a gatekeeper? Elkanah. That's further. Pasuk Chav Gimel. I'm sorry. That's where it is. Look, you looked at. We didn't get to it yet. And Pasuk Chav Gimel. It says, "Uve Rech Yahu v'Elkanah Shoyarim LoAron." So they were the only exceptions. Even though here we mentioned in Pasuk Yud Ches a long list of people, the Imohem Achayhem Hamishnim, who were they? Zechariah Bein, the Yaziel, and so on and so forth. And the Pasuk concludes all of these people were Hashayarim. Here, at this point in time, when the Aron was traveling to Ir David, they now had a new role to participate, to be a deputy in the singing process. And the only two exceptions were what are mentioned in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Once the Aron rested, they returned return Hoyu Mishoyrim, the people that are currently singing along the road, they returned back to their original role to serve as gatekeepers. Kepasik Yutes Vehamishorim Hemon Osaveson, Vyashmir Kol Him Hoyu Mamunim Al Oisa Klishir, and the going back to the people mentioned before in the beginning of the Perek, these people they were assigned to this particular musical instrument, the musical instrument of the Mitzaltayim Nechoshes. Pasuk Chof, Zechariah, the Yel, they were in charge of this other musical instrument, Elish Nemru Pasuk Lamalo, Shayu Sharem, Chzigu Kan Lasas Mesharem, they became singers, and their role in this Pasuk was Nivolim and Alamos. Alamos, Al Oysam Klishir, Shir Menagnim Bohem, Oysam Mizmoirim, Linatseach Al Alamos, the special Mizma mentioned in Tehillim, where it is there are certain Mizmoirim in Tehillim, which were meant to accompany a particular musical instrument. And here Rashi is mentioning that there are certain mizmorim in Tehillim that are said al alamos, an instrument, and they were in charge of using that instrument. Pasuk of Aleph, Uma Tisyahu, ve'elif lehu, al hashminis lenatzech, oison oisa kleshir, sheminagim alov, oisa mizmarb lenatzech, al hashminis. There were certain musical instruments which were used for this specific instrument, and these people were in charge. Okay, with this, there is one. Okay, with this, we will conclude.